Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. In September 1965, President Lyndon Johnson signed into law legislation establishing the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, as the 11th Department of the federal government. At the time, President Johnson said, quote, "We must make sure that every family in America lives in a home of dignity and a neighborhood of pride, a community of opportunity, and a city of promise and hope," unquote. Good housing and strong communities are not only a source of hope, but a driving force of our economy. So for the last 50 years, HUD's mission has focused on issues of affordable housing, responsible home ownership, tackling homelessness, and contributing to economic development. In order for HUD to achieve these program goals, its operations must be efficient, effective, and serve customer needs. What are the key strategic priorities for HUD? How is HUD positioning itself as a Department of Opportunity? And what is HUD doing to improve its operational performance? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Nani Coloretti, Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Nani, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Hey, good to see you. Good to see you, Michael.
So this year marks the 50th anniversary of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Would you provide us a brief overview of the history, mission, and continued evolution of the department?
Sure. So Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, so we'll refer to it, our mission is to create strong and sustainable, inclusive communities and quality, affordable homes for all. And we do that in a number of ways. But we were created in September 1965. So as you know, it's the 50th anniversary this September. It starts there. And it was really kind of in the midst of a lot of unrest happening in cities across the country. And so what the Housing and Urban Development Act did was it consolidated some already existing organizations like the Federal Housing Administration and the Public Housing Administration. And then it also added new authorities to the agency. So it sort of created this new, out of all of those things, kind of created a new organization. And then over time, additional, particularly in the 60s and the 70s, although laws continued to pass in the 80s that were sort of ways of adding more authority or asking HUD to do additional things. So in 1968, the Fair Housing Act passed, and that became a key part of what we do even today. And that prohibits housing discrimination based on factors like race, religion, gender, disability and family status. And so we have enforcement capabilities there, and we work with the Department of Justice on that. So it's not just that we're doing programs for folks, but we're also ensuring fair housing. And then in the 70s, the Community Development Block Grant Program passed, and that you may be familiar with. We call it CDBG. And I'll talk about it a little bit more later, but that grants funding to state and local governments for community development, rehabilitation of affordable housing, really community-driven answers to some of the problems we're trying to solve. And then in 1987, another act passed. It was the McKinney Act, and you may have heard of it. It gives funding to localities to combat homelessness. And so we are still implementing that program today, and I'm leaving out a whole bunch of other sort of different programs that were passed basically by Congress over time to try to address homelessness, housing, and community needs, both in urban settings and rural settings as well. So we've, in the last 20 years alone, we've provided public housing and rental assistance to over 35 million people. Yeah. So it's a great thing to be celebrating the 50th anniversary this year. And we're also 10 years right exactly out from Hurricane Katrina. And Hurricane Katrina really marked a point in time at which HUD was also called upon for disaster recovery. And we've done a lot of work in that, actually. And even in Hurricane Sandy, got appropriations to do recovery and resilience. So not just working with communities after a disaster has happened, like a big hurricane, but also working with communities to build more resiliency into the community itself, so that if and when another hurricane comes or another disaster, people are more prepared in their housing. So we've been sort of covering a lot of that. And, of course, it's a long time ago in our history, but when we first got here in the Obama administration, Secretary Sean Donovan played a big role in the market during the Great Recession. HUD insures home loans. And we've done so for quite some time. And so Secretary Donovan really worked on providing better access to credit at a time when, you know, no one was lending.
The scale and scope of that portfolio is, and mission is quite huge and quite important. But with such a critical mission, I'd like to get a sense of the operational footprint of HUD. How is it organized? And you kind of alluded to it a little bit, but the size of the budget, maybe the number of FTEs and the geographical footprint of HUD.
So it's about $46 billion budget. Over 85% of our budget actually is to renew rental assistance or other kinds of assistance for housing but to about 5.5 million Americans. So just to give you a scope of like where most of our program dollars are going. But we've got about 8,000 folks, two-thirds of them that work for HUD. Mm-hmm. Two-thirds of our employees are outside of the D.C. area. So we have, a national footprint. A third are, of course, here in the D.C. area. And we're really, you know, we're really on the ground in over 50, you know, regional sort of field offices. We've got 10 regional offices and over 50 field offices. So that's kind of the operational footprint. And we're divided by program. So I think I mentioned before how we came about. The Federal Housing Administration remains sort of our largest program in HUD and the largest by FTE also.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, ensuring access to credit, ensuring loans. Public and Indian housing sort of funds what people think of as traditional public housing, but it also has our largest portion of our budget, our appropriated budget, because it is running what we call housing choice vouchers. So vouchers for people to be mobile and have subsidized housing in other places, you know, so they can choose where they want to live in their community. Community planning and development is another programmatic area we're organized into, and that runs the CDBG program I mentioned earlier, but also a whole bunch of other grant programs to communities to sort of fund community-driven solutions to improve housing homelessness, expand economic opportunities for low and moderate income people. It's really targeted to low and moderate income people. And there's also a staff in Fair Housing and Equal Opportunity that implements the Fair Housing Act and also is in our field footprint, helping communities understand how to follow the Fair Housing Act so that they can be sure that they're affirmatively furthering fair housing. We have a number of other staffs that are smaller than those that I mentioned, and they do a whole range of things. We have a staff specializing in lead hazard control in healthy homes. We have a really active and fantastic policy development and research staff, and they make sure that we continue to use evidence in our policy making or programming. So that's fantastic. And we have a whole bunch of administrative folks helping communities navigate housing issues and also helping HUD run better.
So from understanding the HUD's mission and the size of its operational capacity, I'd like to explore your leadership role in the department. What are your specific responsibilities as Deputy Secretary and what areas are under your purview?
Sure. So Deputy Secretary is such an interesting job because you're the number two. So technically, your main job is to be ready to, you know, fill in for the secretary if needed. But the way that we have kind of divided the portfolio is that I'm really helping achieve our mission by focusing on building a stronger HUD and focusing on effective operations and also cross-cutting policy and program issues. So pretty much the entire agency reports up to the secretary through me. And so when there are cross-cutting issues or issues that involve more than one program or policy area, I get called in to help navigate that, but also spending a lot of time focusing on structuring the agency to better fulfill its mission.
And so what are the top, say, three challenges that you face in that capacity, and how have you sought to address those challenges?
So the top two challenges, and then there's a third one that I'll talk about, really are the challenge of, I think, the federal government right now. And it's how do you sustain great work and get results while you are just going to continue to work in a constrained budget picture, right? So we know that the budget won't get better in the near future or maybe even in the long run. What that means is we're going to continue to ask people to do more with less, right? And then the third challenge, which is sort of might be related to the first two, is at HUD, we have had persistent low morale for many years. We're the lowest ranked medium-sized agency on the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey, the EVS. So we've been working to address all of these in a couple of ways. When I first got to HUD back in December of last year, we spent a few months doing something we're calling the deep dive, and I'll talk about that more later. It's a really top-to-bottom operational review. From that effort, really talking to stakeholders and talking to staff and listening to them, hearing what they think is working well, not well, what's not working well, there are three sort of main areas that I'm focusing on that will build a stronger HUD. One is promoting leadership, increasing collaboration, collaboration at the same time, increasing accountability to ourselves, to our stakeholders, and to each other, and focusing on customer service, and then also improving resource management, which I think is the trick to sort of try to do more with less. We've put together a set of priorities that I can sort of talk about in further detail when we talk about the deep dive. We also did the Secretary and I did a full court press on the employee viewpoint survey, not to improve the score, but actually just to improve the participation. One of the things we noticed was that only about half the agency was taking the survey. And so this is a survey that's given every year to every federal employee in every agency. So when you've got a response rate at 51%, it's hard to tell if the results are real or if they're, you know, based on people who tend to fill out the survey. Are happy people filling out the survey, unhappy people? It's really hard to tell, right? So we set this goal this year of increasing that to 75% participation rate, which is just a huge leap. And, you know, we weren't sure we would do it, but the point was to try to explain to people why we were asking them to fill out the survey. And part of it is, you know, we've been seeing these results and we want to work on them, we want to fix them, but we actually need more participation to understand, try to get in underneath these numbers and understand what's driving them. And so we got up to almost 74% participation. And so that was the first part of that was really surprising. The second thing that was surprising about that was what ended up happening. We got our preliminary results back and we're still analyzing them, but we increased on almost every question. Okay. So there are 71 questions and we increased on 69 of them. The average increase is nearly 5 percentage points. So in a regular year, if you go up about 2 percentage points on any one of these questions, that's considered, you know, movement.
Yeah, it is.
You know, because it's a big, you know, survey, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got thousands and thousands of people taking, it's a big N. But so to go up by that much overall was really, really fascinating. And there are 3 questions that contribute to overall employee satisfaction. Those went up by 7.5%. So we asked for more response, but we also got higher rating this year. So that's interesting. Now, let me just say there's a lot more work to be done because we're talking about increasing on a very low base. So I was looking at, we do actually either meet or exceed the federal average on many of the questions, but on many of them, they're still way below,
okay,
even though we went up. So it's hard to say, you know, the Partnership for Public Service every year does a ranking, mm-hmm, of where you fall compared to others. And it's hard to know if we'll go up on that at all. Okay. It depends on, you know, where everybody else is.
What are the key strategic priorities for the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development? We will ask Nani Coloretti, HUD's Deputy Secretary, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.